Welcome to Talking with Yourself, a podcast designed as a place to learn new things, talk about navigating the world, dealing with mental health, and just life in general. I'm your host, Sam Preston, and thank you so much for being here. Now, let's get into it. Everyone, thank you for not giving up on me so quickly and tuning in for my first real episode. I am alone for my first episode because I wanted a nice little solo talk. And I want you guys to get to know a bit about me before I actually start throwing guests at you. So for those of you who didn't listen to the intro episode, my name is Sam. Hi, welcome. Nice to meet you. I am 22 years old, getting my degree in English and psychology. And I actually think when this episode comes out, I will actually have officially finished school. So congrats, future Sam. Just don't ask me what I want to do with my degree. I have genuinely been saying the same thing for the last like 5 years, which is I'll figure it out eventually, which I also think it's just crazy to be asking 17-year-olds to dedicate 4+ years of their life to a degree that's supposed to dictate what they do for the rest of their lives. But I loved reading and writing my whole life, so English seemed like the good choice. And then in my first year, I loved my psychology classes so much that I decided to make it my second major. So I'm pretty happy with where I ended up. I actually, over the summer, read The Time Traveler's Wife and loved the book. I finished it in like 4 days tops. I'm not going to lie, sometimes the dates were hard to keep up with because they would switch like every chapter. But other than that, the story was really good. Then I watched the movie, and I hope there's people out there who agree with me, but I did not like the movie as much as I liked the book. I am definitely a little biased, though I find myself usually always preferring the book over the movie. I also read Silent Patient, or The Silent Patient, or whatever. And if you're into like mysteries, murder mysteries, and love trying to figure out kind of who done it, I absolutely recommend this book. It like kept me guessing the entire time, and like the amount of times I changed who I thought had done it was insane. And let me just say, the end reveal, beautiful. Loved it. I swear I could probably do a whole podcast talking about the books I love. But I did have a plan for this first episode to talk about eating disorders. Some of you may know, I have my own history with an eating disorder. Anorexia unfortunately took over a big chunk of my life throughout high school and part of university. But I am very happy to say that I have been recovered for a few years now, and I have never regretted committing to recovery. It's definitely hard, like most things are, and I was dealing with some other problems along the way, but like I said, I've never once regretted doing it. I was very lucky to have the support of all my friends and family, which made the journey a lot easier knowing that I had such a big support system backing me. Now, before I get into everything and anything I'm about to talk about, I do want to mention that I am not a professional. I am not a mental health professional. I'm not a doctor. I'm not anything like that. So I can't give you listeners any personal advice or anything. The stuff I'm talking about here is just my own experience and knowledge. So while my eating disorder did revolve around controlling food, that wasn't what it was really about, and it actually took me quite a while to realize that. There were some people in my life that weren't all that good for me, and those relationships, on top of other problems I was having, created this life that I didn't quite know how to deal with. And so for me to cope, I turned to controlling food. And it took me a while to learn how to cope in a healthy way. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to therapy, which was a major help, but it wasn't all smooth sailing. I did end up relapsing once before getting myself back on track, which, please know, relapsing is not the end of the world. Nobody plans to relapse and nobody wants to. Yes, it does suck, and of course, it feels like this big step back, but it's not the end of the world, and it can happen to the best of us. It's also more common than you think. I think it's around 30 to 40% of people end up relapsing at least once in their recovery. But don't let that discourage you. That doesn't necessarily mean you are going to relapse. It's more so just to say that if you do, don't beat yourself up about it. Just get back on your feet and keep fighting. This is going to be such a cliche and cheesy thing to say, but you're never alone. And there is always someone out there who will be willing to help and listen. And if that's not someone in your immediate life, then there's so many options online. There are so many helplines out there and online websites for finding therapists or someone to talk to, or even just small apps or websites here and there that let you do a little self-reflection. That being said, if you do need help, I'll put some resources in the description for this episode. Even if those don't work for you, my DMs are always open. Again, I'm not a professional or anything, but I can at least lend a listening ear and give whatever advice I can based off my own experience. There is also a huge recovery community out there on social media. And honestly, that was one of the things that I utilized in my own recovery. Granted, you need to know to take these things with a grain of salt because there are some people out there who advertise themselves as in recovery or recovered, but are realistically posting harmful content that's not necessarily pro-recovery, and if anything, is sometimes feeding into their own eating disorder. But once you do find those accounts, I promise they are so helpful and insightful. And they are everywhere in so many different forms of media. There's Instagram accounts, TikTok accounts, YouTube channels. Hell, there's even podcasts. But again, just be mindful of what you're consuming and how helpful it actually is to you. And of course, don't rely on these media platforms solely to help you recover. I don't think people, both inside and outside the community, sometimes realize that there's a great amount of self-reflection that goes into recovery. A lot of, if not most of your healing, has to come from you. And you can't necessarily rely on other people to solve your problems for you. A lot of the times, it isn't really about food, and it's actually a way for you to channel your emotions about whatever else may be going on. There's no concrete answer to the question, what causes an eating disorder? Just like there's no concrete look to someone with an eating disorder. And that is probably one of the biggest myths or misconceptions about eating disorders. that they have a certain look to them. Most people, when you say, imagine someone with an eating disorder, will picture this small, skinny teenage girl. And the reality is that while, yes, someone could have an eating disorder and look like that, not everybody who struggles with an eating disorder will have that sort of look. Eating disorders can affect people of all ages, size, ethnicity, economic background. I could genuinely go on forever. And this is something I will preach till the day I die. Just because someone is at a healthy weight doesn't mean they can't have an eating disorder. Weight is simply a side effect of having an eating disorder, and it's not a side effect that everyone experiences. It's kind of like when you have a cold. No two colds are necessarily going to look the same on everybody. One person may suffer from an upset stomach, while another may suffer from a headache. Someone may be bedridden for a week, a month, and another person might still be able to get up and do things throughout the day and go to work and do schoolwork. They still all suffered from a cold, and no one is going to tell them that they weren't sick just because their cold was different from someone else's. And it's the same way with eating disorders. Just because one person's journey looked different from another's doesn't mean they weren't sick. An eating disorder is an eating disorder, no matter how long you experienced it, if you were hospitalized or not, if your weight changed or not, etc., etc. The amount of times I've seen people struggle with being, quote unquote, sick enough is insane. I even struggled with it myself, thinking I wasn't sick enough to receive help. But I promise you that if you are thinking that, it means you're sick enough and you deserve help. It's so hard to drill into people that you deserve help at any stage, and that it's okay to ask for help no matter what your experience is, because at the end of the day, you're still struggling, and nobody deserves to struggle with mental health. And there's this whole idea that stems around being sick enough, which is hospitalization. And I feel like we've definitely gotten better with it over the years. And I may be saying that because the people that I have surrounded myself with don't have this belief. But there seems to be this big belief that you didn't really struggle with an eating disorder if you weren't hospitalized. And it's like this weird validation thing, which I hope goes without saying is absolutely not true. Now, I don't remember the exact percentage, but it's something around 20% of people with eating disorders are hospitalized. Whatever that number may be, bottom line is that it's not 100%, which means you can still struggle with an eating disorder and not end up in the hospital. And either way, your struggle is just as valid. I would also like to take a moment to talk specifically about the fact that men can struggle with eating disorders too. And because men are less likely to ask for help, a good percentage of them never even receive treatment. Okay, so I've realized we've gotten this far into the episode and we haven't even talked about the types of eating disorders. There is a handful of them out there, a bunch that you might never have even heard of before. I'm sure the two that you've heard about the most are anorexia nervosa and bulimia nervosa. They are probably the two most common or talked about eating disorders I find. So, with anorexia, it's characterized by food restriction, whereas bulimia is often this binge purge cycle of overeating and then fasting or purging. And one I'm sure you've heard a little about too is binge eating disorder, which is characterized by a person binge eating. Some eating disorders I find that not a lot of people hear about are pica, aphid, rumination, and orthorexia. I'm not going to go into all of them, but I definitely urge you to do your own research about these as well. That just kind of goes as a general rule of do your own research, even if you have somebody telling you something and pulling all these facts and things like that. It's always good to just do your own research anyway and never take it purely from one source, especially because the more places you look and the more things you learn from, the more likely you are to kind of filter out any of the myths or misconceptions or just false facts that could be circulating in maybe one article that's not circulating on a YouTube video or things like that. I will talk a bit about orthorexia because out of that little list I gave, that is probably one of the ones I'm most familiar with. So I can speak at least a little confidently to some things in that regard. Orthorexia is an eating disorder where the person struggling may have an obsession with eating quote unquote pure foods. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who subscribes to some form of healthy eating plan or diet has orthorexia. I want to put an emphasis on the fact that someone will have an unhealthy fixation on their eating habits and food, which can be the case with a lot of eating disorders. So, someone with this eating disorder will obsess over what they believe to be healthy or clean foods, and they will adapt their diet to cut out anything they believe doesn't fit that description. So, oftentimes, this sadly could involve cutting out certain important nutrients or food groups, and it can get to the point where this will interfere with other parts of their lives, which happens often in eating disorders. So this begins to affect things like family, work, school, your social life, things like that. Somebody may say no to going out for a family dinner or going out with friends because wherever they may be going could be breaking what this person sees as their healthy or clean diet. And even then, sometimes just the fear of that possibility deters people. And other times, the person struggling is maybe just too tired mentally, physically. They don't have the energy to go out and do things like that. And so they put it off and they miss out on things. And like many eating disorders, there is no concrete cause to this. There is no one answer to why a person may be doing this or what is going on in their life. And I'm going to backtrack a little because I don't want to use the phrase why a person may be doing this. An eating disorder is not in this person's control. It is way out of their control. They are not doing this on purpose to themselves because they want to look a certain way or they want this and this. Nobody chooses to have an eating disorder. It is a miserable thing to go to. It is isolating, it is scary, and it ruins your life on so many levels. And that's just a thing to keep in mind, is that somebody is not purposely doing this. They are sick. This is out of their control. And it's kind of like if you've ever heard someone say to someone who is struggling of just eat. It is way beyond that sentence of just eat. Moving on, the other eating disorder that I have done quite a bit of research on is pica. In a nutshell, pica is an eating disorder where someone eats things that are not usually considered food. So this could be dirt, crayons, rocks, etc., etc. The list goes on. Pica isn't usually diagnosed in children under 2 years old, because I'm sure most of you notice children that young usually put things into their mouth and try to eat things that are not necessarily food because they're curious about the world. They don't necessarily know better. Pica, however, is more commonly found in people with intellectual disabilities, people with previous mental health conditions such as OCD, or kids who have lived in poverty or experienced abuse of some kind. That's not to say that a child without an intellectual disability or without previous mental illnesses or who haven't lived in poverty or experienced abuse can't suffer from this. It's just been more commonly known for people who have gone through something like this to struggle with pica. Those are just really quick overviews of those eating disorders. And please do not use my sad little descriptions to diagnose yourself or someone else. And even for just general knowledge, it's so important to do your own research. If you think that you or someone else is struggling, go to a professional for a diagnosis or to get help. That is what they are there for. That's what they're meant and trained to do. And it's so much more helpful than trying to self-diagnose a lot of the time. Like I said earlier, I am not a professional. Everything that I've said in the last 20 or so minutes is based off either my own experience or my own research. And kind of like I mentioned in my intro episode, it should absolutely be taken with a grain of salt. And you should be doing your own research and learning on your own as well. I just want to raise more awareness about these things and talk about eating disorders, and perhaps some of the myths that you might not have known are myths. Again, if you're looking for a place to get help, I have a few resources in the description that hopefully can be of use to you or someone else looking to get help. And if you do want an ear to just listen to you for a little bit, my DMs are always open. That is about all I had for today. And in keeping with the tradition that I started at the end of my intro episode, for those of you who don't know, I want to end every episode giving you all a little message or affirmation of sorts that you can kind of take with you for however long you need it. So, to keep with that tradition, I want to say that you are enough. You deserve good things in life. Keep that in mind as you go about your day or your week or your month or however long you need it for. Thank you so much for joining me for the very first episode of Talking with Yourself. And I really hope that I'll see you on next week's episode, where we have our very first guest. Toodles.